A little bit sentimental this morning as we leave the YMCA. It's been 1 year to almost the day. Next week, March 22nd, will be our first day in the new building. And our first Sunday morning service ever was March 23rd last year, right here. And what a ride God has taken this fellowship on. And it's a little bit sentimental. No more are we going to be interrupted by announcements right in the middle of the message. Or the clanging of weights next door. The, come on, you can do it. Get it off, you know. We've seen that. You should hear some of the tapes. They're hilarious. You got them. One more. Push. You can do it. I asked Shane Cleveland to video some of this so that we could always remember these days. Because you know what? They've been good days. It's been wonderful. God has provided for this fellowship that we've met here, and it's been a wonderful time. And we rejoice also in the place that God has given us. So, I would say buckle your seatbelts. God is taking us on a ride. And I'm ready for it. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to see what God would have do in this fellowship. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for the opportunity to serve You. Lord, we thank You that You desire to use us. Lord, that You want to touch this world through Your children. God, that You use us. Lord, may we be salt and light. I ask, Lord God, that You would use this fellowship mightily in this community. That this community would be filled with Your doctrine, with Your Word, that it would go forth strong and powerfully. Lord, now as we look into this section of Scripture, I ask that You would quicken our hearts to service. I pray, Lord, that we would be ready and willing to apply what we learned this morning. All of us. In Jesus' name. Amen. These are exciting times for this fellowship, and I'm excited to watch God unravel His plans. We want to follow His plans. We don't want to have God follow our plans. We want to follow His plans. It's the last week we've been spending a lot of time over at the other place trying to get it ready, you know, dealing with things like carpet and bathroom stuff. And it's easy to get focused on that kind of stuff and forget what church is all about. We did not carpet the church. The church will be walking on carpet. Because the church is made of people. The most important part of any fellowship, the basis of the church is God's people. And I want to say that to us all this morning. That as we move into the building, it's not our social club. It's not our health club. My prayer is that souls would be loved. And that souls would grow in the Lord as we move. And I ask you to help us in doing that. To reach out to one another. To love one another. As we're going to find out this morning, we come to a timely portion of Scripture. This is perfect for this fellowship right now. It's a call to service. All of us. All Christians called to service. And you're going to find out this morning that Christians have been given general calls of service. But also, as a born-again Christian, you have been given a specific call. A specific gift given to each one who belongs to the King. That we are to be good stewards of that gift and to use it. Let's read our text in chapter 4, verse 7. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies. That in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Over the last few weeks, we have been talking about Christians in the area of suffering. And right here in this passage on suffering, there's a giant call to service. So I want to bring that out to you before we get into how we serve. And that is that this little section of Scripture, a call to service, is right smack dab in the middle of a passage that speaks of suffering. Christians in the midst of suffering are still called to service. And that's a beautiful way to help us through suffering, as we're going to find out this morning. He uses that term, but the end of all things is at hand. Now, the Christians that were living in that day, I am sure, felt that to be true. They were looking around themselves and they were seeing tremendous persecution for the church. In fact, Nero of Rome was about to go on a all-out crusade against Christians, have them actually executed and martyred for their faith. Brothers and sisters in the Lord were being persecuted tremendously, and they were looking around, and it was almost like Peter would look and say, it's so bad, the end of all things is at hand. The early church was always looking for the immediate return of Jesus Christ. They were always looking. In fact, I heard one person say that the primitive church thought more about the second coming of Jesus Christ than about death or about heaven. The early Christians were looking not for a cleft in the ground called a grave, but for a cleavage in the sky called glory. They were not watching for the undertaker, but for the upper taker. Christians were living their lives in times of suffering in those days, looking for Jesus Christ to come back very, very soon. And they were able to look around and see that things were tough. And so Peter here says, but the end of all things is at hand. There was suffering. This was written to people who were in the midst of suffering. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 13, the night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. The Apostle John wrote in 1 John chapter 2, verse 18, little children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. Folks, the early Christians lived their lives like it was the last hour. The last time is at hand. Jesus Christ is coming. There may be suffering. There's horrible things going on. But hey, the time is at hand. Martin Luther, every Christian in every age, I believe, has lived that way or should live that way, as if Jesus Christ could return at any time. As if the last days are at hand. That's how we should live. Martin Luther, who lived between 1483 and 1546, said this. He said, I hope that the day is near at hand when the advent of the great God will appear. For all things everywhere are boiling, burning, moving, falling, sinking, groaning. And you see that as you look in your community, as in your world. We just can't wait for that advent of God when Jesus Christ returns. All creation crying out for that. It should be no different for us today, Christian. You know, we look around our world today and let's admit it, it seems a little better, doesn't it? The economy is great here in America. Things are going well. But as things get out of hand, you'll notice that people become more interested in spiritual things. The greatest portion of attendance in recent years was while the Gulf War was going on. Why? Because there was a war going on and people didn't know what to expect. And so everybody decided to go to church. In times of suffering, as you look around, you see that the time is at hand and people begin to want answers. We should all live. And this is what Peter is saying. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be this way, Christian. Go for it. Serve one another. No matter what kind of suffering we happen to be facing. And so I want to say this to all of us. No matter what kind of suffering or trial we're undergoing, God has called us to serve in the midst of it. Hey, the time is at hand. The signs are clear. The Lord's return is soon. The world, many portions of the world are in turmoil, and they are looking for that touch from the Lord. I want to make the connection to suffering. Service in the midst of suffering, because I think it's very important. There are people who are going through trials in this church. There are people that are going through trials in churches around this city. Suffering. And I want to be very clear, God has called us to serve even in the midst of suffering. He called these people who are in the midst of suffering to serve. And it helps you through your suffering, believe it or not. You say, wait a minute, man, I'm suffering. I need everybody to cater to me. Come on, I'm bummed out. I'm the one who needs all the help. That's true. That's true. People need help in time of suffering. But God has also called those in the midst of suffering to serve. You know why? Because it gets your mind a lot of times off your problems. Did you know that? Jesus said, if you lose your life, you'll find it. It's kind of a weird concept. But it happens, and it makes Christians better. Who can forget the life of Corrie Ten Boom, who went through Nazi Germany? Sister was killed at the hands of the Nazis. And in that time of suffering, she dedicated her life to a time of service. And you know what? It completely, radically changed her whole perspective on trials that she'd been through, trials that she was going through, and trials that she would go through. In fact, when asked about living in the post-war generation from which she came, Corrie Ten Boom said this. She said, we are not a post-war generation, but a pre-peace generation. Jesus is coming. We're not in a post-war generation. We're in a pre-peace generation. Jesus is coming. And there will be a time when He brings great peace to our world. And He looks forward to that. If you are going through a time of suffering, I would ask you, serve one another. Continue to do it. Your service to God and to His people is not in vain, folks. It says in 1 Corinthians 15:58, a verse that I remind myself of often, and the leaders of this church often. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain. Any labor for the Lord is never done in vain. Ever. It will be repaid. It will be rewarded. And so those in the midst of suffering serve. I also want to bring out the other side, however. And that is that suffering bring opportunities for others to serve those who are going through a trial. When we hear of somebody suffering, a Christian should be the first to go forward and serve. It's a call to service. There are many opportunities for this. And let me tell you, there is nothing better than being used by the Lord in the life of someone who is suffering. It's a great joy to be an agent of peace, to be someone who would bring calm to that. I want to make this exhortation to every Christian, to every ear who will hear this message. Service is called for all Christians. It's a call for all Christians, not just professionals. All Christians. As we find needs in the body, we go. We go ask them what they need, how the hell we can help them. And let me tell you what, I have seen evidence of that in this church. There has been people that have been going through very difficult times, and many people have rallied and gotten around them. And it's a beautiful thing to hear those testimonies. I have been privy to the love and support of people at this fellowship. Kim and I have had a very difficult 3 weeks. Our whole life has moved in 3 weeks. The church moved. Our house moved. We had a baby. My office even moved at work. I was packing up every single crack of my life over the last 3 weeks. All of it at the same time. And you know what? God raised up people from this fellowship to come into very special ways and bless us. Doing things for us for free. helping us out with moving, all kinds of meals supplied, things done. We've been blessed so much that it's hard to remember all the blessings that we've been blessed with. And Kim and I thank you. Because it's been tough. And there's been people that have come through. That's the body of Christ. I've had other testimonies of people who have had little children here lately. They've just been bombarded with meals. I hear testimonies of people when a need does become known to people, that people get mobilized. They go for it. And I think that's such a beautiful thing. Suffering or times of change are great opportunities for service. That's the connection between suffering and service. That's a call to service that I wanted to bring out. Let's move on now and look at some general areas of service for the Christian. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. I want to mention these three as general areas of service for all Christians. This is not just for professionals, as I said. God has given us three general areas of service, and there are more as Scripture reveals, but we're in this passage this morning, so let's speak of them. The first one is a call to prayer. Every Christian is called to pray for one another. Now, it says here, the end of all things is at hand, therefore be serious and watchful in your prayers, Christian. Prayer is nothing more than simply communicating with your God. And if you think of prayer as anything more than that, then you're making it way too complicated. You don't have to speak in thou and thee. You don't have to use long words. You don't have to speak, you know, King James. You just have to talk. That's it. Prayer is nothing more than simply communicating with our Heavenly Father, who wants us to communicate with Him. He's asked us to. And He hears. He has those ears. And He wants to hear. And He wants to hear from your heart. How many of you have ever prayed with a brand new Christian? It's so fresh. Don't you love it? I'll never forget praying with a brand new Christian. And the first thing he said is, "Well, God, I hope you're having a good day today." "I'm trying to have a good day. Please help me to have a good day." Oh, how fresh. How intimate. How beautiful. I had another friend who just became a Christian, and his prayer was, "Lord, you gave me goosebumps the other day as I was walking on campus and I thought about all your goodness for me." You know, as we get older in the Lord, our prayers become more sophisticated, don't they? Oh, I pray that our prayers would just be fresh. Prayer is nothing more than communicating to God. Your heart, your personality, what you desire. And He's there waiting to listen. We're called as Christians to that general service of prayer. There are different types of prayer. There's prayers of thanksgiving. There's prayers of petition. There's prayers of intercession. And folks, I think that's really what Peter has in mind here. Petition. The end of all things is at hand. There's people suffering all around. And he says, therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. Pray for yourself and pray for others. Intercede. Now, it's amazing how good prayers flow in the midst of suffering, isn't it? Boy, Christians can pray, can't they? When things are going tough. I read of a sign that was on a principal's office or a principal's desk in school. Funny, it said, "In the event of nuclear attack, fire, or earthquake, the ban on prayer is temporarily lifted." They may ban prayer in school, but folks, in the midst of suffering, that goes out the window, folks. Someone said, as long as there are tests in school, there'll be prayer in school. And that's true. Especially in times of suffering. Hey, the end times is at hand. Be serious and watchful in your prayers. Pray. Christian, this is a call to service. Pray. Communicate with your Heavenly Father. He uses a couple terms there. Be serious and watchful in your prayers. Serious can be translated sober-minded, of sound mind, in your right mind. Opposed to being drunk or under the control of drugs, it means to be in control of your faculties. Watchful, calm, collected. Coming across a circumstance and not flying off the handle. But rather, getting serious, being watchful, calming yourselves, and praying. Now, I think this is something that is very, very important for us as Christians, that we would just take time to pray and to think about it. To take that extra time to be serious about it. To be sober-minded, to be in control. To be calm, cool, and collect. To grind out that time where we're in communication with our Heavenly Father. That's an area of service called for all Christians. And I ask you, take time to pray for your brothers and sisters at this fellowship. Take time to pray for the leaders of this church, the direction of this church. We don't know where God's taking us. We're just following Him day at a time. And we need His direction. We need the prayers of His people as we go forward. Be serious and sober-minded in your prayer. There's a second one. And above all things in verse 8, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Now this is one we've heard about, and this is one that should apply to every single born-again Christian on the face of planet Earth. Love. Love is the number one badge of Christianity. It is the proof in the pudding. It is the proof that we are Christians. They'll know us by our fruit, and the most important fruit is love. It's number one. It says so in the Scripture. In fact, one day when Jesus was there teaching, a lawyer came up to Him and said, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and all the prophets." If you wanted to remember one law to keep, one thing about Christianity, it would be this: love as Christ loved you. In fact, I've heard it say, the easiest way to think about serving the Lord and walking is to love God, love your brothers and sisters, then do as you please. Because the loving part will take care of you taking care of all the rest of the commandments. Jesus said, all the rest of the commandments hang on those. It's the most important commandment. It's the most important badge or characteristic of the Christian. That is a general area of service that all Christians are called to love one another. A fervent love, it said. It's an athletic term. It means to stretch out. Stretch out in love. It's an act of your dedicated will. You work at it. It's without ceasing. A fervent love without ceasing. Now there are many different aspects of love that we could talk about, but let's stick to our text here. Look at one aspect. And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. That's a quote from Proverbs 10:12. And that is a beautiful aspect of love. Somebody said that I read here, hatred makes the worst of everything. Love is entitled to bury things out of sight. Hatred makes the most of everything. You know, there are some religious people, I'll call them, that their whole idea in life is to go out and find out what's wrong with people. And to point the finger at them. Sin snippers, I call them. They're always sniffing out sins. Going around everybody's life and trying to find out what stinks in there, what sin they're involved in, so they can expose them. Love would seek to cover over a multitude of sins. Now, I'm not saying to let people get away with gross sin, but I'm saying have an attitude that, hey, we are all sinners. We're all flesh and blood. We all need the blood of the Lamb. We all need the covering of Jesus Christ, the fact that He died on the cross for our sins. And so I believe Christians should be very, very discreet and tactful in handling sins, that it would be covered over. When people are in gross sin or there's things going on, then that's a different story. But it doesn't mean whenever you find out something bad about somebody, all of a sudden gossip begins all around the church, you know, and they're lifted up. I believe as a Christian you should give people the benefit of the doubt and you should try to reconcile situations in private if you can. Cover over a multiple of sins. Love will seek to do that. Hatred seeks to make the worst of it. Fervent love, prayer, but look at this at verse 9. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. Hospitality is in this list of general service of Christians. Hospitality, what is that? Just simple generosity to strangers. The willingness to open our homes to one another. Now, granted, this was much more important in the time of the early church in the New Testament, because there weren't Marriotts back in those days. There weren't Ramada Inns. There were inns, but they'd get crowded and they were very expensive and lots of people couldn't afford them. And so hospitality became a very, very important characteristic of the early church, especially in times of persecution, because many times people would hide out at other people's homes. They need a place to stay. And so they were called to be very hospitable. The people of God are called to be hospitable, to practice hospitality for one another. It's always been a characteristic of the people of God. God even told Moses to tell the nation of Israel to be that way. He said, "You shall neither mistreat a stranger nor oppress him, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt." In other words, welcome strangers in. Be hospitable to them. I find it interesting that those that are hospitable to strangers may have entertained angels. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2, it says, "Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so, some have unwittingly entertained angels." I find that very interesting. To be hospitable to strangers, to be open-housed for those that would come into your house. And notice it says, do this without grumbling. It's one thing to open your house and have people come in, but then to complain about it the whole time, just kind of... Welcome in, you know. Don't mess up the room, okay? Without grumbling, or without expecting to be invited back. Hospitality is a call for all Christians. Did you know that Jesus said that if you are being hospitable to a prophet or to a servant of God or to one who belongs to the King, that Jesus takes that personally? Did you know that? He told His disciples, "He who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of water in the name of a disciple, assuredly I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward." Folks, a cup of water, something given in grace of hospitality to someone else, Jesus says it's like you gave it to Him. Now, how many of you, if you knew Jesus was coming over, would be hospitable? Well, you're being hospitable to Jesus Christ when you're being hospitable to His family. And so it's a general, it's a call of service for us. General service for Christians. Now I want to move on. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. I want to bring up now, Christian, something that I think is very exciting. In fact, it's life-changing for a Christian that will grab onto this. There are acts of service that all Christians are called to do in general. Things like be hospitable, a fervent love, praying, sharing your faith. But beyond that, there are specific acts of service, specific gifts that have been given to every single born-again Christian. Did you know that? There it says, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another. If you are a born-again Christian this morning, you have received a gift, a supernatural gift. And let's get this straight. Let's really catch on to this. Every born-again Christian has been supernaturally endowed with a spiritual gift, meaning that the power of God can work powerfully through every single Christian in a very powerful, very supernatural way. God has given you a special gift. Don't miss that this morning. Now, when we speak of supernatural gifts, the first thing we think of is a lot of various off-balance people is the gift of tongues, or the gift of prophecy, or wonders and miracles. Oftentimes I'm asked here, are you guys charismatic or what? And I say, yeah, we're fully charismatic. We believe in all the gifts of the Spirit, not just tongues. Not just prophecy. Not just healing. There's a list of gifts that have been given to us in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Romans chapter 12, and Ephesians chapter 4. There's a whole list, not just two. And you know what? They're all supernatural. They're all divinely given. They're for us. We've been given that gift. I've never had somebody come up to me and say, do you believe in the gift of helps? I've never had a Christian come up to me and say, you know, do you believe in the gift of helps? Because if you don't, we're not coming to your church. No, it's always, do you believe in the gift of tongues? Do you guys get a little crazy in your service? There are more gifts than the gifts of tongues. And let me tell you what, they are all supernatural. And they have all been given to each Christian. Every single born-again Christian has a supernatural gift. You say, I don't know what my gift is. You know what? You have one. How do you know that? God's Word tells me. It says each one has been given a gift. There are the gift of helps, the gift of administration, the gift of encouragement or exhortation, the gift of faith, the gift of mercy, prophecy, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, tongues, teaching, all supernatural gifts, all of which anyone, a Christian, may have at any time. Each one has received a gift. And I want to completely, totally drive that home to you this morning. They're different. They're variegated. They're multicolor. In fact, here it says, each one has received a gift, minister to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. In other words, it's variety. And there's no gift that's more important than any other gift. All gifts are important. Equally. Equally. I get very, very tired of Christians being told that really, you know, it's just the pastor that's gifted and we just kind of sit and watch him go. Calvary Chapel, Sun City is not about that. Yes, I have a gift of teaching, but big deal. You guys all have gifts too. And you know what? The body of Christ needs every single gift to be exercised to the fullest. In fact, it says, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. We've all been given a gift. The problem, I think, with many Christians is that we see ourselves as manufacturers. We try to manufacture ministry. Christians are not manufacturers. They're distributors. They distribute what's been given to them by God. It's a divine origin. The gifts that have been given to us, we're distributors, not manufacturers. And all of us are to be distributing what God has called us to do. There is a specific area of service that God has called us to. And the key to finding that out is to find out what your gift is. Christian, be a good steward of your gift. God has given you a gift for a reason. If you're sitting there letting it go dormant, you're wasting it. You're losing out on blessings and rewards. There is nothing like letting God use you in that active service that God has given you. Specifically, and you know it's yours. You know you've been called. It's beautiful. And I call you to service to do that. When Christians are using their gifts, their God-given supernatural gifts, there are blessings that take place. I can't even tell you the joy it has been to see how God has raised up people at just the right time in this fellowship to help us. I mean, people with the gift of helps doing so divinely. I mean, we run into various problems that the church needs, and somebody comes up and says, hey, I can take care of that. Whether it be legal advice or construction advice. Yesterday, there were about, six, seven guys who showed up at the church and built a platform in about 4 hours. Boom! They were just called to acts of service. People with the gifts of help. There are people that are helping each other, once another. And when that's happening, it's such a blessing. You see God work in beautiful ways. People with those gifts that come along, have you noticed that God will bring somebody to you with a specific gift that helps you just in that time? Have you ever been blessed with that? I have. I remember before we went to Sunday mornings, a year ago. It was early March, and I was struggling with whether or not we should even go to Sunday morning. We still had the Wednesday night Bible study. That was going great. I had a good friend named Jim Suttle. He's a pastor at Calvary Chapel of Roswell. And you know what? He came to town. And he has a gift of faith, man. And he has a gift of exhortation. Capital E. And he came alongside me and he said, come on, let's get going. And he grabbed me. He literally grabbed me, took me by the hand, and he started walking me. He walked me to the post office and he got us an address. He got the incorporation process going. He helped us find this place to meet. I'll never forget those 2 days, being in the presence of somebody with such a supernatural gift that exhorted me and got me going. It's beautiful. And he was blessed. When you're using your gift to impact people, oh, there's no better blessing. And so this morning is a call to service, Christian. If there was ever a perfect opportunity for Christians to find out where they fit in the body of Christ, it's in a church that's just getting going. You know that? It's exciting to see what God is doing with this fellowship, and there are so many areas where we need service, where we need people to begin using those gifts, finding out what their gifts are and going for it. I have met people that have come to the church a couple times and they take off because, you know, we're in metal chairs. We don't have a place of our own and stuff like that. And I've always thought to myself, they don't see it. They don't see the absolute awesome blessing that it can be in part of watching something come together from the ground up. Being part of a fresh new work of God. Being able to jump in and help. Acts of service and be a part of that. Praise God for the opportunity that has been given to us to do that. There's no better time. There's no better opportunity than right now for this call of service. Peter groups them into a couple of different groups here. He says, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies. That in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. I believe there are two categories of spiritual gifts. There's a speaking and then there's a service gift. Prophecy, teaching, evangelism, word of wisdom, word of knowledge. I believe there are speaking gifts. Then I also believe that there are gifts of service. People who are gifted in helping, in encouraging, discerning of spirits. You can kind of group them into that. And if you look into that list, do it. Group them in that way. Now, another thing I want to say about these gifts, whether it be speaking or acts of service, you may be here and legitimately say, I don't know what my gift is. Let me tell you, go to Romans chapter 12. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Go to Ephesians chapter 4 and make a list of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Categorize them. And then you know what? If you don't know what your gift is, here's what I suggest. Just start trying. Just start trying. There's no better way to find out than to try. And you know what? There's room for failure here. There's absolute room for failure here. Nobody's going to put anyone down here if they're trying to exercise a gift and it doesn't work out. Because you know what? People need to be able to have an environment where they can try. That's how you find out if you're gifted. And so that's what I would say to you all. Do that. Find that list. Begin trying. In closing, I want to say this. Well, before we do, in verse 11, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies. That in all things God may be glorified. Whether it's a speaking gift or a serving gift, do it in the supernatural ability of your Heavenly Father. He has gifted you for that. He has given you that ability. Rely on Him. Rely on Him for that exercise of your gift. It's all supernatural, folks, and I want to make that very clear. It's all supernatural, and it's all needed. It says, though, that the bottom line of all this, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory, the dominion, forever and ever. Amen. I want to say that real quick. God has given us supernatural gifts, not so that we can be glorified, but so that His name is glorified, so that Jesus Christ is glorified. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify you. Is that what the Scripture says? No. It says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. That's the whole purpose. God has gifted you not that you can become proud or glory in your gift. The whole end result is to glorify God. And that is my prayer here, that God would be glorified. That no man or woman would capture any glory that belongs to God. That all of us as Christians, in using our specific gifts, would have the attitude of John the Baptist, where he said, I must decrease and He must increase. That's what we want. Why would we want people to see us? Think about it. You want people to see Jesus Christ, don't you? We just want to be His agents. We want to be distributors. We don't want to have to be over here manufacturing our own stuff. God does the manufacturing. We just distribute what God has given to us. A call to service for all Christians. And I pray that you will find your area of service, your specific area of service. Be thinking about that. Be praying about that. Heavenly Father, I ask that we would all be quickened this morning to see what our area of service is. Lord, I pray that there would not be one person in this room who would never experience what it's like to be used by you. Lord, the blessing of that. Lord, I pray that you would use us all for your glory. God, that you would help us to identify our gifts and then help us to use them in your power. Not in our flesh, but in your power, that they would have maximum impact. Lord, it is a privilege and it's a joy to be a part of your family, of your flock. Lead us, Lord. Lead us, Lord, and empower us for service. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.